You are listening to a reading of Sarah Folger by Andrei Pekovich on Sunday, March 21st, 2010, at the Point Grey Interminonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions of the author are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
This reading on our text today is from Sarah Folger for the Congregational Church of Booth Bay Harbor in Maine. The week before all hell broke loose and darkness swept over the earth, Jesus and his closest disciples came to stay with us in Bethany, which is east of Jerusalem. It was a great honor to have him with us in those last days of his life. It was a great act of courage that he came. You see, he'd been warned to stay away from Jerusalem. He was as big as a lump of bread stuck in Herod's throat, and Herod, that snake, meant to swallow him whole. We all knew as much. But Jesus, he was not about to save his own skin. The salvation Jesus offered was much bigger than himself. Furthermore, he had done nothing wrong. He had done nothing but point to God's kingdom in our midst. He had done nothing but heal the sick and the lame. He had done nothing but give encouragement to the poor and the brokenhearted. He had done nothing but love us. For this, he was supposed to run away and hide? Not my Jesus. So he came to stay with us at Bethany as he had on other occasions. He seemed to feel at home with our odd little family, and I must give my sister Martha much of the credit for that. Martha had a gift for making people feel at home. She was a naturally gracious hostess and took much joy in preparing savory dishes for our guests and in making our home a welcoming place. She made hospitality seem effortless. Would that I could be more like Martha, but I was not. As Martha and Lazarus would tell you, I always had my head in the clouds and was not suitably interested in things that are given to women to busy themselves with. I did not care how much garlic is needed in the lamb to make it more tender. I did not want to learn how to arrange blossoms. But I did love the Word of God. And I loved to dream of the breath of God blowing over Israel. Jesus understood me as no other. He understood me better than my own family. Ours was not the usual family. It was just the three of us, Martha, Lazarus, and I. No husband for Martha. Certainly no husband for me. No wife for Lazarus. No children underfoot. There are probably many reasons for the choices we make, but I am not here to talk about my family as much as I am here to talk about Jesus. Jesus loved our family, each one of us in our own way. I know you were thinking that Jesus loved everybody, but that does not mean that he loved everybody in exactly the same way. He held a special place in his heart for us. Think what you will, but I believe that. Our neighbors even commented on how much Jesus loved Lazarus, as if he were his own dear brother. We, in turn, Martha, Lazarus, and I, loved him with a gratitude and passion that far exceeded many of his other disciples. He felt comfortable and safe with us, which is why he came to stay with us during that gloomy and terrible week. We knew he was not long for this world. We knew his time had come. Not everyone knew, but we did. You see, he was too good, too honest. Some called him the light of the world, the light that cannot be overcome by darkness. Some thought of him as the river of living water, water that quenches the thirst of those who seek the truth. Others spoke of his being the bread of life that nourishes hungry souls. I think of him more simply as the love of God. It is a love that will not let you go. A love that is not complicated by attempts at reciprocation. It's love that sees straight into a person's heart, that sees the best in another. love that cannot pass by on the other side of suffering. Love that lifted Lazarus right out of the grave. It is a love that bears all things, believes all things, forgives all things. A love that claims its own name, agape. What happened that day, the day I poured a pound of precious perfume over his blessed feet, is that I was overcome by agape love. I had saved carefully this expensive perfume. It's the kind that is used to prepare the dead for burial. It was perfume I might have spent on Lazarus, but joyfully, I did not have to. Then it became perfume that I might have used to anoint Jesus in death. However, I could not stand the thought of spending this fragrance in death, and I wanted Jesus to know, while he was still alive, how deep, how extravagant was my love for him. So often do we withhold words of love and acts of love until a person has departed the earth. Too often we are miserly with our earthly affections. And to what end? I wanted Jesus to know now how much I loved him, and I did not want simply to say it. I wanted to show it. It was an impulsive decision, and as Martha and Lazarus will tell you, that is my way. I realized the whole event was unbecoming. Women are not supposed to let down their hair in public, let alone use their hair to anoint one's feet. I knew I was making a spectacle of myself, but I didn't care. Jesus, he seemed to understand my gesture and to receive it with grace. It would have been, I think, a beautiful and humble expression of love, but for the fact that Judas openly condemned my behavior. Judas was always concerned with money, and I know I should not speak ill of him. Jesus, as I mentioned, taught me to see the best in others. But Judas was a troubled man, and he sought to humiliate me that day. Here I was, pouring myself out to Jesus, and he asked rudely, loud enough for everyone to hear, why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor? In that moment, his voice was the voice of a Pharisee judging a sinner. All eyes were on me, embarrassed mess that I was, and Judas had daggers in his eyes. His question was an attack. It did not matter to me that my dignity was denounced, but I did not care about his assault on my, but I did care about his assault on my sense of justice. His question made it sound as if I did not care about the poor, and that is simply not true. Nevertheless, I felt awful about what I had done. Judas made me wonder why I saved this perfume, why I had not sold it so that the hungry might have bread. He made me feel self-indulgent, and that was the very opposite of my intention in anointing Jesus' feet. Jesus, God bless him, was quick to respond. Leave her alone, he said. Let her keep what she has for my burial. You will always have the poor, but you will not always have me. Jesus' words were a reminder that his time on earth was quickly nearing an end. His words certainly put Judas in his place again. Most significantly for me, his words affirmed the love I was trying to show, however awkwardly and inadequately. Love is the very heart of Jesus' message. When you are trying to figure out what to do in any given situation or how to behave, bow to the love God offers in Jesus. When you are struggling to find the path that is most just and most right, ask yourself, what is the path that is most loving? Anoint your lives with the oil of that love. Be the fragrance of that love. Share it. Give it. Receive it. Make it the heart of your life. That may sound simplistic, like the words of someone who always has her head in the clouds. But when you think of the people of this world, people like Mary and Lazarus, but also people like Judas, such love is hard labor. It is not some nice idea. It is difficult work. But it is the work of Jesus called the Christ. It is the meaning of his life, and it is the highest calling to which God calls us. I commend this work of love to you.